morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I am the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and I'm also the founder of From His Heart Ministries. People have asked me over the years, when you say From His Heart, whose heart are you talking about? I'm talking about God's heart. From God's heart, through my heart, to your heart. You know, Christianity is all about heart. It's a heart relationship. Jesus got on to the religious leaders because he said, this people honors me with their lips, quoting from Isaiah, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. And they just go through the motions of a relationship with God, but it's not real. Christianity is all about heart. So in 2005, we began broadcasting From His Heart Ministries, from God's heart, through my heart, to your heart, to speak to your heart and to your will about surrendering your life to Jesus. Now, when we began From His Heart Ministries, which is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time on American Family Radio, among other outlets and television stations, when we began it, the mission of the ministry was this: no matter how badly you may have messed up in life, God still loves you, and he still has a wonderful plan for your life. Now, I believe that with all my heart. But as our world has shifted and gotten away from caring what God has to say about their lives, you know, it used to be when you were in sin, you kind of felt that, and you knew that you were away from the Lord, and even a lost person would feel a sense of, I'm doing wrong. We've lost that. As Jeremiah said, we live in a world today where people don't even know how to blush anymore. They don't feel any shame over their sin. So we've kind of shifted as a two-prong to speak to those people, speaking the truth in love and calling those people out and saying, listen, you have sinned against God, and you desperately need to return to him while there is still hope. It's kind of like the ministry of Noah as he began to build the ark, and it took him 100 years to build the ark, and he would preach, and there would be the ring of hammers in the background and the judgment of God in the foreground, and the message was, God is going to bring judgment because of sin, and here is the ark of safety. And the ark was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our ark of safety. And so I've been thinking since yesterday when we had the broadcast with Rhonda Kelly, who is the daughter of Bob Harrington, Reverend Bob Harrington, who was extremely popular back in the 60s and 70s, the chaplain of Bourbon Street, the evangelist that God used in such great ways, so gifted, personality to burn, such a heart and a passion for the Lord. But then he got away from God. And he got involved in an affair that caused him to leave his wife and leave his family. And he pursued the things of this world. And he just went against everything that he had been preaching and began drinking and carrying on. And just like Demas, having loved this present world, Paul said, he's deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. And so the Reverend Bob Harrington, the chaplain of Bourbon Street, followed in the footsteps of the prodigal son. And it's very, very sad when we see that. Now, his story, you can listen to it. You can go online, afr.net, and go to podcasts, and you can look up Real Truth for Today, and you can listen to that story, the true story of Bob Harrington as told by his daughter, Rhonda Kelly. A very fascinating story. And it's a story that breaks your heart, but it's also a story that gives hope, because even a guy like Bob Harrington, who walked away from so much, God still has mercy and still has grace. So I wanted to talk today about prodigals. And Luke chapter 15 is the story Jesus told for the benefit of the Pharisees. He told the story of the prodigal son. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. And he divided his wealth between them. Now, Jesus was the master of telling a story, a parable, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, and he would use very few words to communicate so much. In that statement, the younger son saying to his father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me, that is communicated this way. Father, I can't wait around forever wasting my life waiting for you to die. So I just want to cash in now, and I want to get away from here. That's what's communicated in that statement. So disrespectful, so dishonoring, so shocking. And when Jesus told the story, no doubt people gasped. What kind of a son, a younger son, would say this to his father? And it says in Luke 15:13, and not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country, a far country, and there he squandered his estate with loose living. We're going to find out later that the older son said he wasted his money on prostitutes. Now, when he spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be in need, and he went and attached himself to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he was longing to fill his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. What a picture. You know, when we get tempted to leave the presence of the Father, to go to a far country, a distant country, where it just seems so exciting and so thrilling. And the fun places are always places that are out of town. You know, when we go on vacation, where do we go? We go someplace else. We go to a place that's out of town because that's the fun place. Where we live in town, well, that's just the normal everyday. And so that becomes common. And we want something that is uncommon. And the distant country always seems to carry such allure to it and such excitement to it. And we leave the love of the Father, and we go and we find our thrills. As the old song said, I found my thrill on Blueberry Hill. We go to the Blueberry Hills, so to speak, and we try and find our thrills. And, you know, there is pleasure in sin. The Bible says that Moses chose ill treatment with the people of God rather than choosing the passing pleasures of sin. Sin does have pleasure, but it's a brief pleasure. It's a passing pleasure. And no doubt the prodigal son experienced pleasure with his loose living, with his wine, women, and song, with his big parties, with going to one club after another and hooking up with this girl and that girl and the other girl. He squandered his estate. All that the father had given him, he used it for sin. But then when all the money ran out, then his quote-unquote friends ran out because they were just in it for the good time and what the prodigal son was going to give to them. And I think it's interesting in the parable, when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be in need. You're never going to find satisfaction in sin. You can find a passing pleasure in sin, just as Bob Harrington found a passing pleasure in his sexual immorality, in his drinking, in his pursuing the things of this world and making money, and I can do this on my own. But you're never going to find joy in that, and you're going to be in need. And in this parable, that son, what did he do? He had to eat. He had to find some way to make some kind of a living. He went and attached himself to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Here is a Jew feeding the pigs. Pigs were off limits. Pigs were filthy, unclean animals. You don't feed swine. You don't mess with swine. You don't raise pigs. You don't do anything with them. And that's what he was forced to do. And so it's a vivid picture of where sin leads. It always leads to the pigsty. And it even gets worse He was longing to fill his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating. And no one was giving anything to him. No one was helping him. Which is good, because when you're in that state, you don't need people to encourage you, to help you, to support you in that state. When you hit rock bottom, that's when there is the potential for a turnaround. And if somebody keeps you from hitting rock bottom, they're not doing you any favors. No one was giving anything to him, which is a good thing, because that caused him to come to his senses. And that's what it says in verse 17. But when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I am dying here with hunger? I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men.'" That's what he said to himself. And here's his repentance in verse 20. And he got up and came to his father. You know, I see with people the soliloquy in their minds and in their hearts, and they'll even tell me, you know I need to get right with God. I need to leave this sin. I need to leave this sexual immorality. I need to leave this life that I'm living of drugs and alcohol and partying and all this stuff that they're doing of living away from the Father. I need to leave this. And they'll say that, but then they never do. I'm thinking of a friend of mine who came to my office some years ago, and he was supposedly a Christian. I don't know if he was or not. But anyway, I led him through, and I said, listen, Mark, we need to nail this down. And so he prayed to receive Christ, and whether that was a return to the Lord or whatever. You know, I can't know a person's heart. Only God knows that. So I don't know if it was real or not. But I do know this. I said to him, you need to start coming. And you need to immerse yourself in the things of God. And you need to be here on Sunday morning. You need to be here on Wednesday night. You need to get involved in Celebrate Recovery. You need to turn completely to the Lord. He said, I'll do it. And I saw him the next Sunday. And I never saw him again until I did his funeral, because he killed himself. Just a terrible story. But he was one of those guys that he said, this is what I'm going to do, but he never did it. I will get up and go to my father, but he never got up and came to his father. That's real repentance. It's not just saying that in your heart. It's actually doing it, getting up, leaving the pigsty and going to your father. Listen, remember this. It's the pigsty and wandering away from the God, from the Father, and going to a far country and being tempted and allured by sin that just looks so good. You know, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. That affects everybody. That affected Bob Harrington, and he fell for it. And he was 18 years living in the far country, 18 years making his way to the pigsty. You don't go to the pigsty immediately, but anytime you go away from the Lord, that's where it leads. It leads to the pigsty, and you have to get up and leave the pigsty and make your way back to the Father. That is repentance. And unless you repent, Jesus said, Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and verse 5, he said it twice, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. But here's the wonderful thing about the Lord. When you repent, when you leave the pigsty, as an unbeliever coming to the Lord for the very first time, or as a believer who has wandered from the Lord coming back to the Lord, you repent. You do the same thing. You leave the pigsty. You turn from sin and you turn to the Savior. And when you do, you find his arms open wide. We're talking about prodigals today and the prodigal son returning. And I'll be taking your calls in this next segment. The number to call is 888-589-8840. If you have a prodigal son story, or you are dealing with a prodigal son or daughter, I would love to hear from you. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're talking about prodigals, and I'll look forward to hearing from you.
Hello? Hello?
Hey, stranger.
Oh, hi. Thank goodness it's you. I was afraid to answer the phone.
Why? What's up?
The credit card companies are after me. They want me to make payments and the calls never stop.
Ouch. Been there before, but I got help from Trinity Debt Management.
Trinity?
Yeah. I called and right away, Trinity contacted my creditors and got my interest rates cut in half. They ended all the late fees and over-limit charges, and they stopped those annoying phone calls.
Bet that was a relief.
Yep. Then they put me on a plan that consolidated my bills into one easy monthly payment. That way, I paid off my debt fast while saving thousands.
Nice.
Trinity even showed me how to plan and meet a monthly budget. So now I'm debt-free for keeps.
Wow. Do you still have their number?
Sure. Here, write this down and call 1-800-788-1813.
Can you repeat that?
1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Hey, moms and dads, are you at your wit's end? Hi, this is Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. I'm so grateful for the partnership we have with American Family Radio. We share a common goal to bring hope to hurting families through the life-changing medium of radio. Be sure to listen Saturday afternoons at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Find help and hope for your family with Parenting Today's Teens.
They say actions speak louder than words. Here at the American Family Association, we take that to heart. AFA Action is here to inform and help you get involved in cultural and moral issues. You can also sign up for our AFA Action Alert, which will inform you about these issues every week by email. To sign up and for more information, visit us at afaaction.net.
Why are you still sitting there? If you want change, it starts with you.
When this mom ended a bad relationship, she found out she was pregnant. After the father told her to get an abortion, Julia was confused and didn't know what to do or who to talk to.
I just knew that if I got an abortion, a part of me would be broken.
Julia was referred to a preborn center where she was counseled and supported with the strength she needed to choose life.
I couldn't imagine my life without him. Because of them, he's here. We're going to get through it, and it's going to be okay.
Preborn centers provide hope, love, free ultrasounds, and the gospel in action to moms like Julia. To find out more about the ministry of preborn, visit them online at preborn.com. Again, that's preborn.com. Or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say the keyword baby. Your love can save a life.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're talking about prodigals and the story of the prodigal son. Yesterday, I talked to Rhonda Kelly, who is the daughter of Bob Harrington, the chaplain of Bourbon Street, who is now in heaven. And we talked about his story and how he had been saved in 1958, and God used him and called him into the ministry so early. I think 3 days after he was saved, he knew he was called to preach. He became a great evangelist. He was dubbed in 1963 the chaplain of Bourbon Street because he would go to the seediest parts of town and preach Jesus and let people know that, hey, no matter how badly you've messed up in life, God loves you and God will receive you and God will save you and change you. And many responded to the gospel, and God used him in great ways. He became such a well-known, famous figure. He was on television all the time. He had his own television program. He made records of his sermons, vinyl records of his sermons that sold millions of copies. It was amazing. But then he fell. And the devil used his success to get his eyes off the Lord. And he fell. And he wandered away and walked away, really. More so than wandered. He walked away from the Lord, from his word, from following Jesus Christ and walking in his ways. And Bob began to live his own life and do his own thing and left his wife and left his family and married a girl that was his oldest daughter, Rhonda's age, and just said, I'm going to do what I want to do, and lived that life for 18 years. And it was devastating and it was heartbreaking. And it was so hard for those that loved him to see him just wrecking and ruining his life. And he was so blinded to his sin. That's what sin does to us. It blinds us to the fact that we're just sinning against God. We're shaking our fist, so to speak, in the face of God. And we're telling him, even though you've done all this for me, I'm going to do what I want to do. Just as the prodigal son said, Father, I can't wait around for you to die. Give me the share of the inheritance that belongs to me. I don't want to be around you anymore. I thought it was telling when Rhonda said about her dad after he came back to Jesus and got his life right with him. He was at the pigsty. And she said he was either going to get right with God or he was going to kill himself because he couldn't live in that state any longer. There had to be a decision. And she said when he made the decision to come back to the Lord, something that just broke my heart, she said he stayed with us for 6 months. Her husband, Chuck Kelly, is president emeritus of New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary. He was a professor at that time, and Bob came to live with Rhonda and Chuck, and she said my dad would just sit and cry. He'd sit by the windowsill and look outside and just cry over all the wasted years. Just broke his heart. And that just caused tears to well up in my eyes as I thought, how sad and what a warning his life serves for you and for me to say, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go there. But see, here's the thing. As a Christian, it is easy to fall into the pattern of drifting from the Lord. Very interesting, the seven letters to the seven churches in the book of the Revelation, Revelation 2 and 3. The first letter is to the church at Ephesus. And that's the church. Ephesus is a big city, a big cosmopolitan city. And the Lord has many good things to say to the church of Ephesus. But he says this to them, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. You've wandered away from your first love. It's not that they didn't love the Lord, but he wasn't first anymore. And they were drifting from him, and the love that they had for him at one time wasn't there anymore. You know, the greatest commandment is that we love the Lord with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength, all our mind. And when we don't love him with all that we have, when we don't love him more today than we did yesterday, what does that tell us? It means we're drifting from our first love. We're wandering from our first love. We're cooling. That white hot love that was there, that passionate love that was there, that honeymoon love that was there, so to speak, that's not there anymore. Now, if somebody asks us, they ask the church in Ephesus, they ask the church members, hey, do you love the Lord? Of course. Of course we love the Lord. But the Lord said, the Lord who looks at the heart said, you don't love me like you used to. You have left your first love. That's the first letter to the church in Ephesus. The last letter of the seven letters to the seven churches is to the church at Laodicea. That was the church that had become so lukewarm. Jesus said, you're neither hot nor cold, but you're just lukewarm and you make me sick. I want to vomit you out of my mouth. You make me sick to my stomach. And he is knocking on the door of the church. You know, we use that verse, Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Well, we use that verse for salvation, but really, that verse was given not for salvation, was given to the church to say, hey, you have gotten so far away from Jesus, he's not even in the church anymore. You're doing church without him. He's outside. He's knocking on the door, wanting to come in, and you're not letting him in. And so from wandering away from our first love, we see the last state where the Lord is so far removed. Actually, we've removed ourselves from him. You know, when there's distance between ourselves and the Lord, it's not the Lord who has moved, it's us who have moved. That's why the Bible says, return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. That's what the prodigal son did. He left the pigsty, came to his father, and his father, when he saw him a long way off, ran to him and embraced him and kissed him. And the prodigal who had been rehearsing his little speech. "Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." And then the father interrupted him, and he embraced him and kissed him and put a robe on his back and a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. And he said, "My son was dead and has come back to life. And this is a time to celebrate." And it was wonderful. And he said, "Quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf, kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found." And they began to be merry. They began to celebrate. It was a time of celebration. That's always the case when a sinner comes to his senses, leaves the pigsty, and comes back in surrender, in a humble confession to the Lord. "I have sinned. Father, forgive me. I've gone away to the far country. I've come back to you." Now, here's the thing about the story that Jesus told, that parable that Jesus told. It was for the benefit of the Pharisees, because they were grumbling in the beginning of this chapter, Luke 15. They were grumbling about Jesus, saying, "This man," speaking of Jesus, "this man receives sinners and he eats with them." I mean, it is one thing to receive sinners, but to sit down at the table and eat with them, I mean, how gross is that? Sinners have cooties deluxe. They're awful people. You don't receive them and you don't eat with them. And when the prodigal returned, no doubt he smelled like the pigs. I mean, there was a stench about him. There was a filth about him. But the Lord embraced him. And the Lord received him. And the Lord forgave him. And the Lord threw a party for him. And the Pharisees hated it. They couldn't stand it. It just got all over them. Why? Because in their theological framework, if you walked away from the Father, you were done. You made your bed, pal. Go sleep in it. Get out of here. Don't come back and go back to the pigs. You have shamed me and you have spit in my face, so to speak. And how dare you think you can come back to me? You know, it's sad. That's kind of how Jonah was. I mean, Jonah wanted mercy for himself, but he didn't want mercy for the Ninevites. He didn't want mercy for the enemies of God. He didn't want them to be able to come to God and receive his mercy and grace. But when he was in the belly of the fish, that great sea monster, well, he prayed that God would have mercy on him and God would have compassion on him. And God did, because God is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth. And God has compassion for you and me, and God has compassion for his enemies, for our enemies. We want to see people come to Christ. Those who are against the Lord, they're the mission field. We can't really look at those people as saying, "Well, you're the enemies of God, so you're my enemy." Well, yeah, but the Lord sent us to be salt and light in a world of darkness. And those who are the enemies of God right now, you and I were enemies of God at one time until we came to our senses and came to the Lord and found his mercy and grace and salvation. And others can do that too. Now, Jesus told us we are to be salt and light in this lost and dying world. And I love John chapter 3 when the Lord tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world or condemn the world, but that the world should be saved through him. And he says, "He who believes in him is not judged, but he who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the judgment," listen to it, "that the light is come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. Hey, Jesus said that his followers were the light of the world. He's the light of the world, and as we walk with him, then he shines through us. We become the light to the world. And men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds are evil. But that's not true for every single person, because, hey, you can be in the darkness, but if you come to the light, then your deeds are exposed and you have to confess your sin and you leave the pigsty and you repent and you say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, have mercy on me, forgive me. And he does. And so those in the world, as we shine the light, there are going to be those who hate us because they hate the light, but there will be those that respond. We don't know who's going to respond and who's not going to respond. Our job is just to witness. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. And that's what the Lord has called us to do, to witness Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. You know, I had a guy ask me in college one time. He said, Jeff, I was witnessing to him. He's a Jewish guy. He said, Jeff, if heaven is so great, why is it that God doesn't just save you and then take you to heaven? And I said, well, Aaron, God has left me here to talk to you, about your soul. And really, that's the plan of God for a believer. He saves us out of this world and sends us back to this world to be a witness in this world. And that's our only business in the world, is to be a witness for Jesus Christ until the Lord comes to take us home, either by the rapture or by death. But that is our job. We are to be his witnesses. And listen, you can't witness as a Christian if you're in the far country. You have no credibility. You got to leave the pigsty of sin and come to the Father and have him do a work of refreshment and renewal and forgiveness. And listen, if you are drifting from the Lord and you know you're drifting from the Lord and you know you have left your first love, as it says in Revelation 2 to the church at Ephesus, if you know that's you, you have to deal with it. And you have to say, Lord, as that old song that I love so much says, bring back the new again. I want to see you again. Bring back the way it was when we first began. Lord, I want to love you with all my heart. I want to be growing in my relationship with you. I want to be growing in my love for you. Well, we're talking about prodigals today, and I would love to hear from you. The number to call is 888-589-8840. Maybe you have a story, your own personal story of being a prodigal and coming to the Lord. Maybe as a lost person, you can say, this is what led me to Christ, and I was at the pigsty. Or maybe even as a Christian, you can say, I got saved, I know I was saved, but then I wandered from the Lord. I got fouled up with a relationship that drew me away, with a crowd that drew me away. The Bible says bad company corrupts good morals, whatever it might be. But you have a story to share that when I came back to the Lord, and when I confess my sin to the Lord, I found his arms open wide. The old hymn that is sung in many churches used to be very, very popular. If you'll take one step toward the Savior, my friend, you'll find his arms open wide. God is such a good God. He forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. If we confess our sins, the scripture says he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not from some unrighteousness, not from most unrighteousness, not that God can forgive these category of sins, but not these terrible, horrible sins. No, if we confess, he cleanses us from all, A-L-L, unrighteousness, and he makes us right with him. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. The number to call is 888-589-8840. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Call in, and let's talk.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. AFA aims to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
In Matthew 24, Jesus said that in the end days, persecution would increase. In 2022, the persecution of Christians is at an historic high, yet most people are unaware. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, host of Stand in the Gap Weekend, heard Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time. While we can pray for the persecuted, we can do more. Join me and Dee Dee Laugesen of Save the Persecuted Christians as we give the facts about worldwide persecution, Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time.
The Raising Godly Boys Minute with Mark Hancock.
What did you have for breakfast this morning? Around 49% of people had a quick bowl of cereal. Popular brands like Cheerios, Frosted Flakes, Raisin Bran. Across the country, Americans enjoy over 100 types of cereal. That's a lot of variety, but there are even more ways of parenting kids. That's why when it comes to raising your son, understanding his personality is vitally important. Many boys have tons of energy. They love the excitement of sports and outdoor activities. Other kids prefer small groups where they receive individual attention. Whatever your son's personality, take the time to talk, laugh, and play with him. By spending time together, you'll better understand how to guide him through childhood to become a godly young man. For more encouragement and parenting advice, visit Trail Life USA or RaisingGodlyBoys.com.
Free help in raising godly boys is at RaisingGodlyBoys.com.
You know, a lot of times you have to choose between something high quality or something that saves you money. But if you can get both, why not? Especially when it comes to healthcare. And that's MediShare. You get both. The typical family saves $500 a month switching to MediShare. And that's huge. But it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. It's because MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge PPO network. So yeah, really, you could save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. If you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. Here is the number you need. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're talking about prodigals, and we're taking your calls. The number to call is 888-589-8840. If you are a prodigal or you have a prodigal son's story that you would love to share, we want to hear about that, because that gives hope to listeners. No matter how badly you may have messed up in life, no matter what you've done, God loves you, and he says, if you will return to me, I will return to you. Well, we have Dave on the line from Tennessee. Dave, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, Pastor Shreve. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Almost hesitated to call just because, you know, there is no greater joy than to know your children walk in truth. And, you know, I think the Bible always has truth both ways. So I have a daughter that's a missionary, and my son is definitely a prodigal. I was a prodigal up until I was 26. I'm a retired Navy guy, but I was saved in Naples, Italy by a missionary, and that made my daughter very close and, you know, and just had a heart for missions because she saw the change. But now my son is both a drunk and a sodomite. And, you know, but there's a lot of benefits once you get over, not over the heartbreak, but a lot of lessons, because, you know, it's really turned my heart more towards that group and how much they need Christ. Mm-hmm. And really the challenge, I guess my question a little bit for you, is how to know, you know, he doesn't want us to reach out to him. But do you kind of stop reaching out to him and respect those wishes, or just keep saying, I love you?
Yeah, great question, Dave, and thank you so much for calling in with that. I think you still reach out. You know, you don't cram anything down his throat, but you just let him know that I love you and I'm praying for you. And I think that you just don't stop with that. It's a difficult situation, and when you're getting a lot of resistance and it's just like, don't talk to me anymore about any of that. Don't tell me you're praying for me. There's a part of them that wants to know that you still pray for them. They need to know that God still loves them, and they can leave the pigsty of sin. I'm reminded of a story that John MacArthur told about being called to the bedside of a man dying of AIDS, and he was in the homosexual lifestyle, and he knew the truth. And so John came to him and said, you know, do you understand what you've been doing is an abomination to the Lord? And the man said to him, as he was very honest, knowing that he was getting ready to meet God, he said, every day of my life, I knew I was wrong, and I just tried to suppress that. But he confessed his sin there on his bed, and he came to Christ, and he was saved before he passed away. And it was a great story, but I've never forgotten that, because that guy knew that he was sinning, just like the prodigal knew what he had done. Just like Bob Harrington knew what he had done. They know that they have left behind the God of this world, and they try and kick their conscience to death so it doesn't keep poking them and stabbing them. But I would encourage you, Dave, to just keep praying for him, keep loving him, keep letting him know you're there for him. Has he been hostile toward any kind of witness?
He had a very bad accident, and he was very, very strong in Christ, was saving himself for marriage. I think he's angry at God. But yeah. If I could just say one other encouragement to those with a prodigal son, you know, the Lord, once when I was praying, weeping, told me that the greatest victory comes through the hardest struggles. So now when people ask how he's doing, I just keep saying he keeps sweetening the eventual victory.
Well, that's a great way to look at it. You know, one of my favorite scriptures is Romans 15:13, and I share this with people all the time. It says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so as a parent of a prodigal, I think you just keep praying and praying in hope. Adrian Rogers used to say, it's better to die in faith than to live in doubt. And it's better to believe God all the way to the grave, that God is going to turn this son, this daughter around. And I'm just believing him for it, because that's what God wants. He wants that person to leave the pigsty and come back to him. And so I'm praying according to God's will. Now, we can pray for people's salvation. That doesn't mean they're going to get saved. We can pray for prodigals to come home. That doesn't mean that it's automatically going to happen. But we can believe God for it and trust God for it and ask God for it. And hey, it's better to die in faith than to live in doubt. So I just want to encourage you, Dave, as you keep praying for your son, and that God would fill you with joy and peace in believing, that you'd abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And no doubt he's watching, and he's looking to see your son, to see how you respond to all this, and your witness speaks volumes to him, even if he never let you know. So keep on going, and thank you for calling in today, Dave. I really appreciate it. Well, we're talking about prodigals. Do you have a prodigal? Many of us do. Many of us as moms and dads, we have children that have wandered away from the Lord, and it breaks our heart, and we don't want to see that, because we want what's best for our kids. But you know, the tendency is to beat yourself up that you did wrong as a parent. But you notice that in the story of the prodigal son, the father, although he was heartbroken that his younger son took his money and left, he didn't beat himself up over it. He didn't say, oh, I must have done a terrible job parenting. No, you know, your kids make their own decisions. God has no grandchildren. He just has children. And I have three daughters, and Debbie and I knew early on, each one of those girls has to make a decision for herself to follow Christ and to walk with Him. And I can't make that decision for my girls. They have to make it for themselves, and they have to continue to follow. I can't cause them to keep doing that. I can't make them do that. They have to want to do that, and that's what we want for them, just as they want that for their children. Well, we have Nick from Louisiana on the line. Nick, go ahead. You're on Real Truth for Today.
Hey, Pastor Jeff, I just wanted you to know that I'm a prodigal husband. My wife, her pastor told her not to marry me, you know, back in 2012. He said, hey, you know, Nick's a great guy, but don't marry him. You know, you'll be unequally yoked. And she said, well, thank you, but do it anyway. And he did. And, you know, a lot of heartache, a lot of tough years. You know, I was wrapped up with sexual immorality. My wife was praying for me every night, Lord, whatever it takes. And it took a lot. You know, I found myself on the side of the road, just commit suicide. But, you know, long story short, I made a phone call, and I met a man that helped me to understand the gospel. And on July the 8th of 2018, exactly 4 years ago, I surrendered my life to Christ. He made everything new, and he redeemed me. He wiped away my sin, and he didn't just, like, patch up my marriage. He made it brand new, and I'm just excited. I just wanted to share that with y'all, that nothing's ever too far gone. Whether you're a prodigal son or a prodigal husband or whatever, Jesus can fix anything.
Wow, what a great testimony, and happy spiritual birthday today. That's exciting. I appreciate you calling in today, Nick, especially on the day 4 years ago today when you turned your life over to Christ. Now, tell us, how did your wife respond to that news?
You know, when I got saved, you know, was it Nick and Jolene happily ever after? Absolutely not. I mean, there's a lot of scar to sin. Amen.
Yeah.
And, you know, it took time for me, you know, to just figure out what a walk looked like and how to get discipled and to just, you know, to grow in the knowledge and grow in the fear of the Lord. And, you know, every day got better, and the tough days and the triggers got less and less. And, I mean, they never go away, but me and her both will tell you that we wouldn't trade the marriage we have today for anything. And, you know, it's still a lot of work, and, you know, you've got to put Christ first. But, you know, my wife reminds me that, you know, she's thankful that I chose her, you know, because I'm telling her, hey, I'm so thankful that you're on this journey with me. And she's like, well, you know, you had a choice to make too, and I'm just so thankful that you chose us. So, she's awesome. I mean, it's great to be on my journey with Christ with her by my side.
That is so good. Well, Nick, thank you for calling in today. And that gives hope, because just as you said, you're never too far gone. If you have breath in your lungs today, you can use that breath to return to the Lord, to confess your sin to Him, and He will save. And if you return to Him, He will return to you. It says in the book of Acts chapter 3, repent therefore and return in order that your sins may be wiped away, so that times of refreshing can come from the presence of the Lord. And no matter how badly you've messed up, God can redeem, and God can save, and God can cleanse, and God can restore and transform. And that's what He's done in your life. So, hey, Nick, God bless you, my brother. Thank you for calling in. And tell your wife I said that I'm excited to hear your story and to hear how God restored your marriage and gave you a brand new marriage in Jesus. So God bless you, brother. Well, we're talking about prodigals, and Nick was a prodigal, and the Lord saved him. The Lord saves prodigals. He specializes in transforming lives and taking people who are broken at the pigsty of sin, and when they respond to Him, He makes them brand new in Jesus. You know, one of the greatest Christians in the Bible was Mary Magdalene. She loved the Lord with all her heart. Well, Mary Magdalene she was demon-possessed. And the Lord cast out seven demons from Mary Magdalene. And she was in love with Jesus, and she, as the saying goes, she was saved and she never got over it. She was always so just blown away that God would save her. And that's the Apostle Paul's testimony. He was saved and he never got over it. And he just was like, wow. One of the problems that we have in Christianity today, so many Christians, we get saved and we get over it. And we lose the wonder, the joy, the awe, the wow, God, that you would save me. May we never lose that. Well, we have Carlos from Louisiana on the line. Carlos, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, sir. And thank you for the call there. What I'm wondering, and hopefully it'll go around the whole world, the United States, a night of praise and prayer for this country. You know, I don't know if your football stadiums, your gymnasiums, whether you can do that or not now. It seems like you could. I think we need to fall on our knees and ask God to forgive us in this country, because the Biden administration looks like he's going to have abortion, whether anybody wants it or not, on these military installations and stuff like that. We've got so much ungodly, and I think we need a night of praise and thanksgiving and worship to the Lord, and ask him to forgive this land. I don't know who can get it started, but it needs to be in every state, every parish, every county needs to have some kind of, we need some help in this country, and that's the only one we can get any help from that's truly, truly helpful.
Right. Well, you're exactly right, Carlos. You know, 2 Chronicles 7:14 is given to God's people. It was given to Israel, but Israel was God's people. We're God's people as believers in Jesus. And if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. And I totally agree with you. We desperately need to do that. Individual believers need to do that. We need to come together as churches and come together as the body of Christ to cry out to God. And we have to deal with sin in our own lives, because no one is immune to that. You struggle with sin. I struggle with sin. We struggle with sin. And we need to confess our sins, pray for one another, confess our sins to one another so that we may be healed. And as God's people get right, when we get right, we see God move. The problems that we have in America are caused by sin and caused by selfishness and caused by saying, God, we don't need you. We're going to do it our own way. Well, we need to come back to the fact that without God, we are sunk, and we desperately need him. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing, but with me, you can do all things. And now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory. Thank you for joining us today on Real Truth for Today. And we always remind you of two words, shine and share. Shine for Christ and share what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. God will use you as a witness as you shine and share. I'll be with you again Monday. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.